NPR reported last week on how federal disaster aid gets distributed. On average, white Americans and those with more wealth often receive more than minorities and those with less wealth. The end result is rich people getting richer and poor people getting poorer. But that's the average. As WSHU's Charles Lane reports, one Long Island community defied these odds, even if it did take a monumental effort.
Horton Avenue in Riverhead, Long Island, isn't the ideal place to build a home.
I grew up, I'll show you where.
It's at the bottom of a long hill. There's a frozen marsh on one side of the road and a duck pond on the other.
Where you see that tree at in front there?
But that's where a dozen African-American families from Virginia settled back in the 1920s. Near Long Island's North Fork, most of the land is agricultural. Linda Hobson's mother worked on a potato farm. She built their house from an old barn that someone tore down.
My mom bought the land for a little under $1,000, and she bought the wood for $500.
Hobson went away for college and then came back to live in her childhood home.
There used to be barbecues, and on Sundays after church, people used to come to Horton Avenue, and this was the place to be.
Back then, she says, Horton Avenue was one of the few places in Riverhead acceptable for black people to live.
It didn't stop the people from thriving. They took what they could get, and they built up on it, and they made it work for them.
While she was growing up, Hobson says, it flooded three or four times. So when the town of Riverhead wanted to build a traffic circle at the bottom of the hill in 2007, residents worried. The plan called for raising the roadway, which they said would block a drainage ditch and force water back towards the homes.
I actually told the town that if our homes flood, that I would get on the top of the circle and I would scream to the world that I told them that we were going to flood.
She was right. In March of 2010, it poured for 3 days straight. 9 inches of rain ran down that long hill and up against the new traffic circle. Horton Avenue turned into a lake with 13 tiny homes sticking out.
Skipper Anderson had a little rowboat, and he was rowing people to their homes so that we could get our jewelry, we can get our passports.
Years later, it was discovered that the planning department had greatly miscalculated how much drainage actually flowed into Horton Avenue. Meanwhile, residents kept pushing on politicians like former Congressman Tim Bishop.
That group was really, really important in maintaining the appropriate level of attention for all elected officials.
FEMA has a pot of money set aside for mitigation grants. They're meant to fund projects that will prevent future flood losses. Horton Avenue residents wanted FEMA to buy their homes, relocate them, and convert the land into wetlands. But there are a number of bureaucratic cogs that have to turn in order to receive a grant.
It was a struggle.
The 13 families asked the county to ask the governor to ask the president for a disaster declaration. Then they had to convince the town of Riverhead to file a grant application with FEMA and convince the town to pay for some of it. Then there were mitigation plans and relocation logistics. The application was rejected several times, and each time there needed to be an elected official willing to keep pushing for it.
And I remember very clearly having a conversation with the number two person in FEMA, and I just said to him, you know, we have got to get to yes on this.
Finally, after more than 2 years of bureaucracy, FEMA approved a $2.8 million grant to buy everyone's home, tear them down, and turn Horton Avenue into wetlands.
And I just started crying on the phone, and I couldn't believe that we had gotten the grant. It was such a big deal because it allowed people who had lost everything to rebuild their house.
Linda Hobson says the FEMA process was a gargantuan effort. She says it leaves marginalized communities, particularly people of color, at a disadvantage.
I think in minority communities, you have people that struggle more. They're less apt to speak out. They don't have a lot of representation. They're not civically involved all the time. They're definitely not politically connected.
Hobson says if she had to go through it again, she wouldn't volunteer to organize. She says it's just way too much work. Charles Lane, WSHU News.